T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It is the morning show on Sports Radio 92 on the Game. Hope you're having a great Monday. Rolling into work. Got a lot to go over. It's going to be a busy week. Big week. Huge week. Because we have, Hugh, all these things are starting to come together this week. Atlanta United. The Atlanta Braves. More on them in just a moment. And this week is
Football.
The Atlanta Falcons training camp opens on Friday. And by the way, again, if you haven't been there, it is a great time for the kids. There's a lot of games. The food is a buck. Everything's a dollar. Parking is free. Admission is free. I mean, they've got a huge tent with all the gear in it. It is a wonderful. Our set is there.
They got cotton candy.
Not to mention the fact
they got cotton candy.
That dominant football team is sitting out on the field.
Yeah, and everybody gets a chance to see what they could potentially be this year. I think that's the biggest thing. Everybody wants to get their first glimpse of the Atlanta Falcons football team, the 2018 Atlanta Falcons.
And so it begins again on Friday. Friday morning is the first day. The gates will be open. We'll be there, and we want you to join us as well. And then Saturday, Sunday, they're going to be at Mercedes-Benz Stadium in an open practice at the Benz. So here's another one of those things where if you've never been to Mercedes-Benz Stadium, well, I mean, if nothing else, you know, here's your chance to go see the stadium. And so that'll be Sunday
after. $5.
Is that what they're charging? $5?
I think that's $5. Yeah, don't forget that now. So if you bring $10, you can get you a nice little tasty beverage and a hot dog or a burger.
Right.
And have some, yeah, with a, like a dollar. What's that, AT, with a dollar left over?
With a dollar left over.
And then you get that unlimited soda. So this is going to be great for the city because a lot of people don't get a chance to make it to Flowery Branch. They don't get a chance to get out there. So for them to be able to go watch the Falcons practice and then get a chance to go into the stadium, that's a win-win. And I think they're opening the roof
today. I believe that is the plan.
That's the roof opening, huh?
You think they'll do a little bit of 7-on-7?
Probably. If they're in pads, yes. Because it's the third day. I don't know. Like, this format is a little different. We've only been privy to like a handful of padded practices, but it's not like, I don't think it's banging. They're going to do 707 AT, but it ain't going to be that. It ain't going to be that old school 707. It's going to be that touchy feely 707. It's going to be that warm and fuzzy, which is nothing wrong with that. I'm not talking about back in the day when I played with leather helmets on or nothing like that, but I will say that if I played in this NFL era, that I probably still be.
Well, since you brought it up, I gotta ask you, if you were coaching Hugh and you had your choice, let's say there were no rules and you know there were no collective bargaining rules and all that about how many times you could hit. If you were going to hold training camp, would you ascribe to, you know, training camp with lots of hitting to prep you for the hitting of the year, or would you ascribe to training camp where there's less hitting and protection of the player's health?
I would do it the way that Andy Reid did it. The first 3 days of practice, full pads. First 3 days, then the fourth day, you would have a shelled practice where you run around. You got to be running at top speed, up tempo. Everything is up tempo. The afternoon practice would be 10-10-10. And then give them the day off, and then come back that morning and have a padded practice. The afternoon practice would be a shelled practice. And just do it like that. But I would give them days off.
So that the fans know, the reason they do that is because now these practices have been collectively bargained.
Yes, they have.
It's in the contract as to how they have to practice.
But I'll tell you what, the one thing that I've where Coach Quinn does a great job of, and I'm pretty sure everybody has noticed, is that they do a great job of tackling because of the style in which they tackle and the speed in which they play the game. So it's almost like muscle memory. To a certain extent, where you do things the right way all the time, so that you when you get out there on the field, it's like old hat. It's like riding a bike.
And we're going to be talking to you about the Falcons throughout the day, throughout the week, and all the way to training camp on opening on Friday. Here, Atlanta Braves making news. They're going to be in Miami tonight for a couple of games before they return home. Now, last night they had a really long day yesterday against the Washington Nationals, a day that ended. almost 7 hours after the scheduled start when Bryce Harper put the game away by doing this.
Fastball hit in the air to deep center field. Enciarte moving back, way back on the warning track, at the wall. It is gone. Goodbye. Onto the grassy berm, batter's eye in center field. A long home run to dead center for Bryce Harper.
As the Washington Nationals radio network, Harper hit a home run to make it 6-2, and that put the game away. Braves had lots of chances. They had two runs on 14 hits. You got 14 hits that only get two runs? That's kind of interesting. Yes, it was a long game in terms of hours, but they only went nine innings. They had 14 hits in nine innings, Hugh, and only got two runs out of it.
Yeah, and, you know, they had an opportunity towards in the ninth inning where Freddie lined out. He lined out to left at the end of the game, and that's what they had. I think they had two men on base at that point.
Mm-hmm.
So they had a chance to win it, but it didn't work out that way. It was a tough game, though, John. You're talking about Mike Foltynewicz comes in. He hasn't had a start in 10 days. He gets off to a rough start, but he calmed himself down, gave you what I think it was 5 2/3 inning yesterday. And he gave up like 9 hits and 4 runs. Then it was 5 2/3 inning. And he walked 5 people. So
yeah,
that was
kind of
tough. He was a little bit tough. It was a little tough for him yesterday.
Yeah, so the Braves fall to the Washington Nationals. They end up splitting a weird series where they had the Braves come off the All-Star break with a dominating win, and then the next day they get rained out, and then the next day you almost get rained out because of the two rain delays. So that's over with. They'll have to make up the Saturday game at some point in the future. Now they head down to Miami for 2 games before they return home later this week to open a 4-game set with the LA Dodgers. A couple of thoughts here. Number one, Ronald Acuna Jr. had 3 hits again yesterday in the leadoff spot, though. The one time when he didn't run hard enough to leg out that double and got thrown out at second, yikes, okay, that was a killer. But Acuna had 3 hits again in the leadoff spot. Enciarte had 3 hits, Hugh, down in the order. So moving Ender Enciarte down in the order where he was earlier this year and moving Ronald Acuna to the leadoff spot, maybe, I don't know, we've seen things here with – they haven't settled – you know, does it bother you that they haven't settled a batting order yet? And we're into August here, really.
Does it bother me?
Mm-hmm.
Not really. I, you know what, John? To be honest, I haven't even thought about that. I think that for them to shake the order up the way that they have is work for them. And I think that's the reason why they do it, because to shake up the order has worked for them pretty successfully so far this season.
Yeah, and because you're also platooning at a couple of spots. You're platooning at platooning at third base.
Yes,
right?
And you're trying to mix and match guys. I mean, the good thing about this is they play well together. Even the guys that come in that don't play every day.
Mm-hmm.
Even the guys that are platoon guys. And I think it's worked well for them. And that's one of the things why that has been one of the reasons why the Braves have had so much success. So now I've never really thought about it like that.
Well, you know, and then there's, of course, the issue with Ozzy Albies, not his hamstring issue, just kind of flaring up on him a little bit. So with Albies' hamstring, they're just taking it easy with him. I don't know if he'll be back in the lineup tonight. They said he was available if needed in an emergency yesterday, but there's no reason to rush him back, I don't think. But, boy, it'll be nice when he does get back, because you don't want to miss his bat out of that lineup at all. Now, whether or not the Braves are going to make a move between now, heck, it's the 23rd of July. You have 8 days. Sam Freeman. What are we going to do with Sam? Sam Freeman just doesn't seem to be Sam Freeman. He's just, every time he comes in, it seems he gets kind of lit up. So middle relief is an issue, Hugh, that they're going to have to address. Here's the question that I want to ask. It's a big question we're going to ask throughout the show. Can the Braves make the playoffs with this team this year as it's constructed now without making a move?
I would say yes. But how deep do they go? I don't think they go that deep, because that's one of the things that the Braves have been looking for. They've been looking for pitching. They've been looking for relief pitching. They really have. It's just been a slow process. And some of the names you hear, it's like more of a filling out process for the Atlanta Braves. The one name that I heard the other day, John, was let me get this guy's name. Familia.
Mm-hmm.
I can't pronounce his first name. Urez Familia. I'm killing his first name. In your lab, don't laugh at me. That ain't funny. But anyway, Familia is his last name. He's a pitcher for New York that's 28 years old. And he fits into that mold of young prospects for the Atlanta Braves. So that's a guy that they're looking at. But what I've been reading so far, John, they really haven't settled on anybody just yet. They're still in the process, and it probably won't happen till late.
Yeah,
till late in the trade deadline.
Yeah, actually, he got traded yesterday to the A's. So damn, much for
he
that
got
one.
Traded. Damn, see, that was fast. So yeah,
so much for that one. Yeah, but you know, I get your point though. I mean, your larger point is you start to go out and like look at different things yesterday. You know, do we make a move in middle relief? But I like your answer here, Hugh, because I'm going to go with you. Okay, on this, I think this team can make the playoffs with the team they have right now.
Yeah, but how deep, the question is, how
deep.
Well,
I don't know that they'll do anything. They may only make the wild card and be one and done. You know, one game and out, which is another question for another day. Who do we start? If they go with the team that they have now, who do you start in the wild? Well, even if they bought a starter in at this point, I think you would go with one of your guys.
Yeah,
Fulton Evans or Tehran, right? Yeah. You know, I'm one of them. But yeah, I could see Foldy being the guy for a wild card, for a one-shot wild card. I think the answer to this question is yes. I think they can. Here's the thing. I think that this team, you know, provided they're healthy, I think this team showed us at the beginning of the year. Remember, this was the team at the beginning of the year that ran to first place by how many games, right?
It was a few. And then not only that, John, they did it by the way that they're doing it now.
Mm-hmm.
Shaking up the lineup.
Aggressive base running.
And all of that. All of that. So nothing, the format for them hasn't changed. The biggest issue for them has been, you know, like Fulton yesterday, 5 2/3 innings. That's been the issue. And your middle relief has been shaky at best. That's been the problem. Sam Freeman comes in and gives up the pitch to Bryce Harper. And he scores. Who did he score on that one? I got it written down in my notes here. But, yeah, but the point is he gives up a run in that inning. So that's the problem.
And so the Braves, as constructed right now, can they make the playoffs? I think the answer is yes, because I still look around. Look, at the beginning of the year, let's go back here for a second. At the beginning of the season, we thought the Miami Marlins were going to finish last, which they are, correct? I mean, we all thought
that. Yeah, that's safe right? to say.
Then there was questions of the Braves are kind of the pick to finish fourth, all right, in the division. The thought was the New York Mets and the Washington Nationals would fight it out at the top.
Mm-hmm.
Then you'd have the Phillies and Braves kind of fight it out for third place, and Marlins would be in last. The Phillies and the Braves exceeded expectations. The Mets fell apart, okay? So the Mets fall down to you know, total, you know, they end up trading Matt Harvey. The Mets fall apart, and they're out of it. So now the Mets are out of it, the Marlins are out of it, and it's a three-team race. Washington, we still expect, is going to have a say.
Yes, I agree with that.
Now, I will say one thing. Kelvin Herrera came in yesterday throwing that 100-mile-an-hour heat that he has. That's the guy they got from the Royals that I was hoping that the Braves would trade for at the end of the game there. They do have Kelvin Herrera, and they do have Strasburg, and they do have Scherzer. They still have these great players on this team.
They got some great pitching.
Right, they got a great team. And we still expect that they're going to make a run. But we've also seen the Braves beat up on the Phillies and beat up on the Nationals head-to-head with the club that they have now.
Yeah, they have. And that's why that's what gives me hope and belief that they will make the playoffs. But it's that how deep can you go? Because now you're talking about your pitching and how strong is your pitching. And towards the end of the season, the biggest issue that a lot of people have had with the Atlanta Braves so far is that these young pitchers, they're starting to wane a little bit. They feel like they're starting to wane towards this part of the season. So that's going to be the biggest issue, whether or not you want to bring in a veteran arm to put in that rotation or you want to try to bolster your bullpen.
It is your chance right now. We give you on this Monday morning a chance to make your work week so good with a chance to win $1,000.
Now it's time to reveal our national signing bonus code word. The code word is
host, H-O-S-T. You're going to host a party if you win $1,000 right now. And you text the word host, H-O-S-T, to 72881. That's host to 72881. And you get your name and data. Don't text and drive, obviously, because in Georgia, you don't even want to hold your phone and drive. Message data rates may apply, but don't text and drive, whatever you do. Host to 72881. We've already had a winner. We need another winner, okay? We need you to be the next winner for us and for you, because you get the $1,000. We don't get anything, but we get to brag about you, okay? That's what we get. So go ahead and win $1,000. Text the word host, H-O-S-T, to 72881, and hopefully you're randomly selected to win $1,000 in the national signing bonus. Well, we get another winner. That'd be kind of good. That's all I'm thinking.
Has anyone else gotten a
winner? You know, I haven't seen well, you mean here?
Yes, here.
I haven't seen anybody. Have you?
I haven't seen another email from Sean, so I guess we lead the pack.
I think we won the pack last time, didn't we, Hugh? I think so.
I'm not sure. I'm happy that people win the monies, but I don't get, I don't get off into that.
I can't say we on that one. I was with the afternoon show then. So I don't know.
You with us, Knox, so you part of us. You with us.
We's leading. I tell you that much. We
okay.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So hopefully you win $1,000. Braves are going to play in Miami, and then they come home for a set against the LA Dodgers. Alex Anthopoulos says he owes it to the team to make a move, so I think he probably will make a move. But that's not the question I'm asking at this point. The question I'm asking is, can they win it with this team? And again, I want to take you back through the first half of the season. Unless you think the first half of the season was a total blush, you know, the first half of the season was a total fake out.
I don't think so. I think that what happens is you might sneak up on a few people because they didn't expect you to have the success that you're having. They didn't expect you to have the hitting that you were having. And that was the biggest thing. And the aggressive base running that the Braves shown at the beginning of the season. I think that now, you know, you're not sneaking up on anybody, but you're still getting it done. It's just been, you know, a little back and forth. But the one thing that they have been doing for the most part is winning their series.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's important because if you do that, then you more than likely you're going to be in the playoffs. So yeah, they've been winning their series. So they're still. It's just the ebb and flow of baseball. It's the ebb and flow of baseball, and you know sometimes hitters get hot. They get really hot, then they go cold. I mean I equate it to this: the fact that it's like, say if you got a 10 game slump, that's one game in football. That's like having a bad rushing day.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's how baseball players look at it as well. Scared me with that music there, buddy. It's kind of abrupt.
I'll take that.
Hey, I want you to think about something in your car right now.
It's a little abrupt.
There were six teams that made the NFC playoffs last year, right? Which ones will not make it this year? Hugh and I are going to tell you which ones we think won't make it this year. We'll do that next.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Listen and win.
The Game's National Signing Bonus.
This is huge. We're giving away over $250,000. A chance to win a grand.
You just won $1,000.
12 times a day on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Those sounds you hear echoing this week are all the players reporting to camp. It is camp time for the National Football League. Johnny Hill, the morning show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And boy, the price of poker changes real fast, doesn't it? Man, I tell you, what's going on in the National Football League is going to be really different because of the way contracts are going to work in these day and age. And we're not talking about just a JJ, but when Saquon Barkley signs a fully guaranteed contract as a rookie, you know, $31.2 million, I mean, got paid, and it's fully guaranteed. Things are changing, you, and it continued to change. All these guaranteed contracts now. Where were those when you were playing?
I mean, like, the first year for rookies is kind of – that's kind of how it goes. I think it's like he signed a four-year deal. You mm-hmm. know, most teams, they sign a five, and it's with the fifth year as an option.
Mm-hmm.
So technically, it's a guaranteed deal. It's they're all kind of guaranteed deals. But for him, he is the highest paid – he's one of the highest paid running backs, and he ain't even touched the rock yet in the NFL. That's how special they think that this young man is.
Yeah, and so the Giants are really counting on him to take a leap forward, and that's one of the teams we want to focus in on. Here we go. Everybody reporting to camp this week. I want to take you back for a moment, back to last year, okay? Last year you had the Falcons come in to the beginning of the season with all those teams that they made the playoffs with the previous year. Who was it? It was the Falcons, Dallas, Washington, Green Bay.
Seattle.
And Seattle.
Yeah.
Okay, and the only team to repeat as a playoff team, the only team in the NFC to repeat as a playoff team, is the Atlanta Falcons.
Small Falcons.
So yes. The odds favor that the teams that made the playoffs last year, that they all six are not going to make the playoffs this year, even though most are favored to make the playoffs, that all six won't. Those six were the Falcons, the Saints, the Panthers, the Eagles, the Packers, and the Rams. No, check the Eagles, Vikings, and the Rams. What am I thinking? Of those teams, one of the things we're asking is our Vision Computer Twitter poll, which, of course, is brought to you by Vision Computers. Our average hold time is less than 15 seconds, and we're going to be asking about, you know, which of these teams, which of these division winners are not going to make it back last year. So as you look at the list, you look at the NFC teams, the Falcons, the Saints, the Panthers from the NFC South, the Eagles, the Vikings, and the Rams. Which one of those teams is least likely to make the playoffs again this year, in your opinion?
I'm going to stick with the NFC South because looking at the that division. You had three teams in that division that went to the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that's going to happen again next year. So out of the teams that don't go, I'm going to say the Carolina Panthers don't make it to the playoffs this year. I'm going to say that. And I'm going to say I hope that the New Orleans Saints don't make it to the playoffs. I'm going to say that, but I'm not for certain. I think the Atlanta Falcons got a strong enough team that they'll go back. I know this is probably going to be blasphemous of me. I don't think the Philadelphia Eagles go to the playoffs this year.
Really?
I don't think they make it. I don't think. And AT's looking at me. Hey man, these are my predictions. These are mine.
We got you on video. audio tape.
Yes, I don't think they go to the playoffs this year. I don't think they make it to the playoffs.
Well, they went from not making it to the playoffs, finishing what last, and then went from last to the Super Bowl. Correct.
Yeah, I think it's going to be. You know, it's always tough. The team that's hunted after they win the Super Bowl is always tough. And I know teams have made it back to the Super Bowl and stuff. I just don't think the Eagles make the playoffs. I think the surprise team out of the NFC East is the New York Giants. I really do. I just have that feeling. And if anybody's sitting in their car about to wreck right now, I apologize, but we are talking about my bold predictions. And I think that I think the Giants are going to be the team to beat out of the East this year.
So you say the Panthers and the Eagles are definitely not making the playoffs?
Yes.
And then it may be the Saints.
I'm hoping the Saints are going to make the playoffs.
You're hoping.
Yeah, because it's hard to bet against that team because last year nobody saw the Saints being as good as they were.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody saw that. I mean, come on now. You know, you had three brand new starting three new linebackers on the squad. Not middle linebacker, but three new linebackers. So it was kind of tough, man. So nobody knew what to expect from them. And Alvin Kamara was a huge, huge, huge boon for your team. I think that kind of opened everything up for you. It took a lot of pressure off of Drew Brees and Mark Ingram for that matter. So I'm hoping that they don't go. But I'm definitely saying Carolina does not go to the playoffs.
I'm with you 100% that Carolina is not making the playoffs this year. There may be two teams from the NFC South. I think there are possibly two teams from the NFC North. And I say possibly because I think the Packers are going to win the division. I don't know about the Vikings. Now, the Vikings.
I'm tired of watching the Packers limp into the playoffs.
Well,
I'm really tired.
I know, but, you know, he is Aaron Rodgers, and just like Tom Brady,
he's a special guy.
And he does have Jimmy Graham this year.
Right. And they've upgraded their secondary. And, the Packers are still going to be a force. You know, they're a 10 to 11 to 12 win team. They just are because Aaron Rodgers wins you games. And I don't know what's going to happen with Kirk Cousins. I have no clue.
I can tell you what Minnesota fans are hoping happens with Kirk Cousins. They're hoping they make it to the Super Bowl. They feel the moves that they made in the offseason by getting rid of their quarterback and bringing in Kirk Cousins and giving him that guaranteed money, he is the chosen one. That you basically sent the message and said, the guy that we had, who was the guy that they had? I forgot his name. He's been gone.
Case Keenum.
He was not that guy, even though Case Keenum was making a strong case to be the MVP last year. And he is not that guy. So you bring in a guy that you give $98 million guaranteed dollars to.
He better win you.
Damn it, you better get me to the Super Bowl or bust. Because if they don't, they're going to be throwing eggs at that man's house in Minnesota. Or if they don't make it to the playoffs, they're going to be like, some heads are going to roll.
One thing is true in the NFC. There are so many teams, Hugh, that are in that we could be 10-6 or 6-10 category, and the Panthers are in that. You know, and if the Panthers go 10-6 and make the playoffs, I mean, they're two games either side of, you know, a 10-win season in the playoffs or a 6-10 bust year. I put Dallas in that kind of category. Mm-hmm. I put San Francisco in that kind of category.
Yeah.
San Francisco wins 10 games, would it shock me? No. If they only won 6, would it shock me? No. I think the Rams are a runaway winner in the West because I think Seattle's in disarray, and I don't think Arizona's in any position right now to really be able to make a run. Arizona may end up second in that division, and they may be a 500 club or somewhere around there. Another team that could go 10-6 or 6-10 to me is the Lions. You know, would it shock me if the Lions suddenly won 11 games? No. And won the division? No. That's the team we, you know, tend to discount here. But yeah, it's really an interesting year in that regard.
Yeah,
because you throw out last year as an outlier for the New York Giants. They were two wins, right? Let's say that they're a 6-10 team, but would it shock you if they were a 10-6 team?
Not at all.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
And I tell you what, man, having a veteran quarterback, like people, you don't realize how much a solid running game takes pressure off a quarterback. And I know a lot of people feel one way or another about Eli. I was arguing with somebody a couple weeks ago. Well, last week we were talking about, oh, he's not a leader. Led the team to 2 Super Bowl victories against the best quarterback in the game. If that don't scream leader, I don't know. I don't know what does. I don't know what does. And for him to go through what he went through last year by being benched and by Bill McAdoo or Jim McAdoo, whatever his name, McAdoo, and for him to be benched and for him to be a professional about it, does not complain and does not throw a hissy fit, just handles it with you know, decorum and everything, go out there and come back and go and play. Come back and play at the end of the year. The Giants were in position at number 2 to draft the quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
They stuck with this cat and got him a running game. Got him a running game and revamped that offense. And guess what? Odell Beckham Jr. is coming back. I don't like the Giants, and I know some Giant fans just tweeted me and talking about he's in full agreement with me. We're not friends. I'm just giving you what I think is my honest opinion about what the Giants are going to be this year. I think they're going to be pretty good.
You know, and there's always a surprise team. And last year, you could say I thought there were a couple of surprise teams. One was
Little Odell off that boat, though.
One was the Eagles, obviously. Well, there were 3 surprise teams last year. The Rams were a bit of a surprise in how far they went. The Eagles are certainly a surprise going to the Super Bowl. People forget Saints were a bit of a surprise. You know, there wasn't a whole lot expected of the New Orleans Saints last year, right?
Not really.
Yeah, and they came in and did that, you know, with all those rookies, and they had that special kind of year. So there's going to be 2 or 3 surprise teams. Jacksonville was a surprise team in the AFC. We'll talk about the AFC tomorrow. There's going to be 2 or 3 surprise teams in the NFC, as there are every year. And so I don't have a problem with the Giants because I look around trying to think, are the Niners potentially a surprise team? See, the funny thing about them as a surprise team, Hugh, is yes and no. Because they won, their last 5 games with Garoppolo?
Yeah, they had a nice little run.
Right.
They had a nice little run the last 5
Once they got Garoppolo and started winning game after game, if they came out and started winning game after game this year, people wouldn't be surprised. I mean, because now you have Shanahan's got his quarterback, and maybe it works. But the other side of that is, do they have the book on him like you always talk about?
Yeah. I mean, that quarterback position, man, that's one of those things where you got to give them some chances. You got to give them a chance to see what they can and cannot do, because it always starts out, quarterback comes in, first 4 games, he has success. But after that 4th game, when they have a book on you, when they know what you can and cannot throw, that's what coaches usually do. I can hear Jim Johnson in the meeting right now talking about, well, he throws the out route really well. We're going to take that away from him. We're going to show him the whole field and make him throw crossing routes. We're going to make him throw throws that he's uncomfortable with. And then we're going to put heat on him.
Do you have a raincoat?
What you mean?
Hugh? You might want to wear one to that Hall of Fame ceremony, since you claim the Eagles aren't making the playoffs. A lot of
you mean the rain with the booze and stuff? Hey, man, it's okay, man. I got big old shoulders, man. I ain't worried about that. I mean, I picked the Eagles to win the Super Bowl, would beat the Falcons.
So this is what's going to happen then. I want you to tweet what you said. I want you to tweet it out. Nope. You got big shoulders. I told you I was going to get you back in the show. Tweet what you said.
I'll tweet it from the game. Again.
There you go.
Here we go.
Big old shoulders.
Well, it's part of the show.
No, tweet that.
And if it ain't coming from me, so it ain't real.
You know what? Brian Dawkins has just pulled your pass.
Hey, listen. He probably didn't count it. But what are you talking about? I don't think so. This is my opinion. Give it my opinion. I'm not about to ask for that heat, though. I'm not about to do that.
I don't. You sell it to him as say, hey, listen, the lowered expectations kind of thing.
No,
make
I'm not,
it work
I'm
for
a,
you.
I'm a sports analyst. It's not the gospel. It's me analyzing. I'm analyzing it. It's the stuff.
I think the Falcons, the Eagles, and the Rams make the playoffs. I think we have 3 new teams outside of those, but we'll see. Hey, did you watch yesterday? Did you watch golf? Do you just watch Tiger? I mean, did you see him? Is he going to win again? I'm going to tell you whether I think he's going to actually win another major based on what he did yesterday. We have that next on The Morning Show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Here we go.
He jams.
They score! And it is good.
Our Atlanta Hawks, United, and Falcons play here because the game is everywhere. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
The shot is in the air. You can hear the crowd urging it on. It comes into the green, hits in front, rolling up, spins to a stop, and it is official. Francesco Molinari is the first Italian to win the Open Championship. This 147th Open at Carnoustie belongs to Francesco Molinari. Congratulations.
NBC Sports says Francesco Molinari wins the British Open and the hottest golfer in the world. By the way, Molinari is by far the hottest golfer in the world, not just because he won the British Open, but over the last month and a half. And nobody seems to, you know, when you talk about Rory or Ricky or even Tiger, nobody talking about this guy who probably going to be player of the year worldwide. But be that as it may, welcome back to the Morning Show with John and Hugh. Tiger puts up a valiant effort, actually has the lead in the final round, about midway through the final round, and then kind of fades towards the end a little bit. But his best showing in a major in a long, long time. But Tiger talking after the tournament about having the lead and not being able to seal it.
How would you describe how difficult it is to hoist the claret jug?
Well, it's not easy. It takes every facet of the game in working. And on top of that, you got to get a couple good bounces. This Lynx golf is something else. You know, you're going to get some quirky bounces, and you know, hopefully they go your way for the week.
Now, he ended up tied for sixth place here. But, boy, I tell you who won. Yeah, how about television? Ratings surging over the weekend for Tiger. Ratings highest in 5 years.
Yeah, everybody was excited for him this weekend, John. I think he moved up to 50th on the rankings right now. Is it 50th?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so everybody was excited for him. And that's all you heard this weekend was how everybody was looking at this and they were really pulling for Tiger. He fell short, no question about that. But I think that with his showing this weekend, that gives him that's fuel to the fire for Tiger. There's no question about that, because now he has to feel at 42 years old that he still has some good golf left in him, and he's almost right back on track.
Nicklaus won the Masters at age 46. You know, I mean, it can be done here, and he keeps inching closer and closer and closer to that breakthrough. I mean, he's playing much better and much better than he has in the past. The question is, will he win another major? And my answer is, I actually don't think so. I watched this weekend, and here's why. I watched this weekend, as good as he is, there was a time where one of the reasons he won the majors when he was playing and won all those 14 majors was because he was the best player in the world by far, and because he was the most intimidating player in the world. The intimidation factor obviously has waned, but he's also not the best player in the world anymore.
No, there's a lot of good young golfers out there now, but I think that for him to come back from where he's coming from, John, that's a great sign for him to feel like he can potentially win one.
I think he will. I hope he wins five and breaks the record.
You got to win one first. I understand what you're saying. You know, you put them lofty expectations up there, but you got to win one first. And I think for him to move up the way that he did and be in control for most of that golf tournament the way he was, he has to feel like he's in position to win one soon. He has to. And I know this was disappointing for him, but you got to feel like, hey, man, you know, look at where I'm coming from. He had, five or six back surgeries since then or something crazy like that. And for him to work his way back like that, he has to feel good about his results this weekend. Not the results that he wanted, but there's some encouragement there.
You guys watched. AT, do you think that Tiger's going to win another major?
I have a little bit more confidence in it. After this weekend's performance, going into it, I would have said no, given the way he performed at the Masters. But the mere fact I was on the plane while after he sunk the birdie that put him, I think, six under, mm-hmm. and so I never saw anything until I got off the plane. But when I heard he had taken the lead, for however briefly it was, I was very pleased to hear that.
Wendy, do you think he's going to win another major, Tiger?
I hope so. Tiger Woods was the only reason I watched the Open Championship over the weekend, because I'm not a big golf fan.
Me neither.
But it's boring to me. But when Tiger Woods is playing, and especially on his comeback, I'm super excited to see him on the course. And I was really hoping that he wouldn't have the meltdown that he did. But I think he can win another major.
You know what's funny, Wendy? Tiger Woods was to golf what LeBron James was to downtown Cleveland when he revived that whole area. Because Tiger Woods brought golf to the masses. That when Tiger, like real talk, when Tiger Woods was out there doing his thing, there were more African Americans out there playing golf than you've ever seen before. It was a surge of African Americans playing golf, picking up the game, because the one thing that you always heard was that, oh, it's too expensive. The balls are so expensive and just the game. But when he played, everybody gravitated towards that because they wanted. They was like, "Hey, he's doing it, so I want to be a part of it too." And he's made a lot of golfers, avid golfers now from his performances when he was a younger man.
He just makes it fun to watch. He made it fun to watch over the weekend. I'm glad he took the lead briefly. I wish he would have been able to hang on to it a little bit more. But and it come down to, you know, a millennial and Jordan Spieth and Tiger Woods of old. It would.
All right.
Fun.
Here's the second part of that question. Yeah, Hugh, do you get a sense that Tiger Woods has put? Are we seeing Tiger 2.0 in the love affair that is rekindling with the American public? Have we forgiven Tiger Woods? America? I have. I already have.
I think there's some that have, John, but there's a lot of people, some of his golf buddies that would never forgive him for what he's done. But I think a lot of people are pulling for him. You know, one thing about America loves underdog, and America loves pulling for the underdog. And right now, Tiger is one of the biggest underdogs out there. And for him to have the kind of performance that he had this weekend and to move up the way that he did, people are excited about that. People are going to tune in whether or not they like him or they do like him just to see what he's going to do.
Has America forgiven Tiger, AT?
I think a portion has. I think there will be some people who never will. Let's face it, he's not O.J. Simpson. So
right, he didn't hurt anybody except himself.
He hurt himself and his family. But I think the time is going to come where, along with what Hugh said, America loves second chances. And this may be his fifth, sixth, tenth since this incident happened, but this is his first top 10 finish since 2013.
You know, Wendy, after the round yesterday, they showed Tiger with his two kids. They took him over there. You want to talk about humanizing Tiger as a father? And as, you know, a comeback, do you think that that he's actually kind of come all the way back and we're accepting Tiger again and got a 2.0 version of him?
I mean, I think so. You even saw his son had some shirt that said something about the haters, which I thought was funny. So probably to some of those people who haven't forgiven Tiger, I mean, his son was wearing that shirt. But, yeah, I mean, you can forgive people. I mean, he didn't commit a crime per se.
He committed a crime of the heart.
And I was mad at him then, but, I mean, that's life choices, and that happens.
In that sense, Tiger's already won. That may be the biggest major he's won, is be able to come back and have that kind of, you know, love from the fans again. Hey, the All-Star Game's coming up a week from Wednesday on the August 1st. Dukes of Bell going to be live 2-6 at the Soccer Celebration at the Georgia International Plaza. Mike Conney, Jason Longshore are going to have an All-Star Game preview show right after DMB and All-Star Game commentary. Are you ready to go camping? With the Atlanta Falcons, they are. It's this week and it's next on The Morning Show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.